Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/zabe.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Virginia, basically. How's the trick-or-treaters at your house?
Nothing. We're there. It's Chapter 7. Yeah, and we're in a townhouse development, so there's should be lots of kids. But
is it down from last year?
Yeah, it's been down, you know, the last few years because of the pandemic. I thought it'd be back up, but no.
Wow.
No action yet.
Okay, and so there's going to be a lot of leftover candy.
I'll take it to work. Somebody ate it. A lot of fat people there.
Today on the ZabeCast, it's Andy Polin, the guy I once derisively called Good Enough Andy. A man who knows more Redskins history than anybody. Somebody who loved Chinese food, Tiger Woods, and 60 Minutes on Sundays. And a guy who taught me the word mushugana. Your bonus, uncensored 35-minute edition of the ZabeCast is locked and loaded. So buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
You know, kind words were spoken about you at the family dinner on Saturday night, and there was even a fleeting idea of a Bring Andy to Dinner event at the Zabin household.
I'm sure that didn't come from you. Must have come from your mom.
No, I said it would be a hoot to actually have Andy come because, you know, my parents are big fans of our show when we were together on the sports reporters, and you being a person of you consider yourself a Washingtonian, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived here. I would say I'm 64. I've lived here probably close to 55 years of that, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. So even though you originally were born in New York, right?
Mm-hmm. Came here when I was 5. Stayed here till I was 19. Texas for 5 years. New York for 6. Otherwise here.
Yeah, I hear you came in on an ox cart with your father from a commune in upstate New York. The times were hard, but your dad made a new life of it here in D.C.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, speaking of the horse and the cart, as the story goes, my mother's father was from Russia, but came to this country when he was about 8 years old and wound up in Columbus, Ohio. And we asked them, you came to Ellis Island in New York. How did you wind up in Columbus? Now, I don't know whether this story is true or not, but it makes a good story. He said his grandfather bought a cart and a horse and headed west, and the horse died in Columbus, and that's where they settled.
We settled. We went as far as the horse would take us.
Right.
And exactly. That was that. That's great. Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of coming to dinner, so I was talking to my web guru today, Chris Broussard, who helps run this podcast, and we talked about doing a DC-based Zabecast event, and I said, I have in my mind what I would call the holiday roast, where it's me, you, Scott, Solly, maybe one more person up on a small little dais or a small stage, sort of like a wedding, right? And we would have microphones in front of us with speakers, and we would do an open format podcast to the assembled people that are there and pay whatever money we have to pay to food, drink, whatever, and have a grand time of it. Would you be up for such a thing?
Absolutely. And you probably have to go to YouTube to find this because this is more of my era than yours. But Dean Martin at one time in the 70s had a weekly roast.
Weekly.
Where they would roast famous people like Bob Hope and Lucille Ball and Johnny Carson and people like that. Yeah.
Was it over dinner? Was it on a dais at a restaurant or a banquet hall?
Right? Okay. Yeah, and they would tell stories and you know, be funny, and Dean would act drunk, and it really worked.
Wait, Dean acted drunk or he was drunk?
No, I think from what I've read, you know, he always came across as being drunk, and he always had a drink in his hand, but that was just part of the act that he had his wits about, because there were really no embarrassing incidents that he had in all the live television that he did.
Right. If he were drunk, there would be shots of him being dragged out like a corpse. Because he was overserved or vomiting into his lasagna or who knows what.
Yeah.
So did I hear you mention in that before the open snippet, I'll bring it to work, quote, there's lots of fat people there.
Yeah. Jesus. I won't mention any names, but if you bring...
Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's still fat shaming people. Ever since you lost 30 pounds to dial down to your current old man weight of 165, right?
Yeah, proud of that.
Hey, every day, the $5 a day health club that you belong to. Actually, less than that. It's 24 a month, right?
It's what do I pay? I pay $25 a month. So it's less than a dollar a day.
Less than a dollar a day. Bring your own towel. Air dry it in the car in the back. And
I've stopped doing that. I bring a fresh towel every day. I've moved up in the world.
So what do you do with a dirty towel? Throw it in the trunk and then wash it when you get home?
Well, I have a gym bag that has like a pocket that you put the dirty clothes in, zip that up, and then I come home and I put it in the laundry.
Okay, good. But you used to air dry it though in the back of the car.
Yeah. I tried to get through a week with a towel, and then I think we all went to lunch one day and everybody got mad at me for having a towel hanging in the car. So
that is classic. Yeah. Well, anyway, if you have leftover candy, send it my way, because you know I am Mel Candy Jr. I scout, I recruit, I assess, I assign grades to all the new different candies that come out year to year.
You know, when people talk to me about the show, that's one of the things that they mention, how great those days were when you would rank all the candies. And then, you know, and then like one or two years, you pulled like a diva act, like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. What do you mean you're not doing that? That's a Halloween tradition.
Did I say it had run its course? I'm like, it's played. Yeah, I'm not doing it anymore.
Right. We're only doing it once a year, and we had to talk you into it. I think that was your plan, that you just wanted to be begged to do the
I think part of it was I didn't know what the act was at one point, other than just me riffing in the most rat-a-tat-tat Mel Kiper Jr. style fashion, my deep knowledge of and passion for various candies. I guess that was the shtick. I can't impersonate Mel himself in his Baltimore accent. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of did it that way, but
and it worked.
Yeah, I know it kind of worked. Now, is that a sad commentary on the state of our show that's the one thing people remember the most fondly?
No,
or is it? Because... Or is that the way radio is? It's live. It's visceral. You get a connection with the host that you listen to every day.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Imus was on for God knows how many years, 40 years in New York.
I'm in here, Bernie.
Yeah. And he had an act where he would say to Charles that he was coming to his house, Charles the sidekick, McCord, that he was coming to his house for Thanksgiving. And McCord would always say no. And this would go on for like a week or two before Thanksgiving. And everybody looked forward to this. Imus, you know, inviting himself to Charles' house and Charles saying no. It was the same act every year. But I think that has a lot to do with radio, too. It's the familiarity. It's the same, you know, thing that makes you comfortable, the same people. And program directors really don't understand that. They just want to make changes. Right. But that's what people like. They like the same old stuff.
Yeah. I was at a party on Friday night for my dear friends Cowboy Mike and Janice. They finally got married for tax purposes, Andy. Nothing is as moving as two people in their 50s who have been living together and essentially married for 20 years, finally tying the knot just to avoid Uncle Sam's reach. But no, it was a nice evening. And but at the party, one of the members of this band that played there, a little three-piece band, is a drummer who bought my old house in Sterling, Virginia, and still lives there. And he's actually a huge fan of ours, and, you know, talked to me for a good amount of time about how you and I and the show got him through going through like law school at Georgetown, or I think it was GU or something like that.
Well, that's nice.
It was nice. And I say this all the time. I say to people, that show was great. That show was live. It was unpredictable day to day. The third person in made it different every day. It was always 2-on-1 combat wrestling. You never knew quite what the 2-on-1 match would be, although 70% of the time I was the one and you would team with somebody else. But that's what made it great and unpredictable. And it was a great show. And I don't think there are other radio shows as vibrant, smart, and dynamic as what we had.
Was good. Business has changed, but those were some good times. And that house, by the way, I don't know if you remember this, but you had a Super Bowl party there once. Oh, I know what it was.
2002.
You had HD, and let's see, 2002. Jeremy, my son, was 10 years old.
Unbelievable.
And after we left, that's how nice this house was. After we left that house and driving home, he said, "Dad, he must make a lot more money than you do."
It was not that much nicer than your house, and I don't even think it was Zillow listed at a higher value than your house, because I think you were sitting in better real estate in Rockville, Maryland.
Yeah. Well, I did well when I sold it, so I'm not unhappy with that. But you had a very nice house there.
Well, we bought it for $340,000. Back in 2000 or so. And it was a reach. You know, it was a stretch and a reach. But our realtor, the great Mrs. Jean Gennard, who lived two doors down from us, still worked into her late 60s and 70s as a realtor. Just a badass, right? Mm-hmm. But old school Brooklyn woman. And she goes, couple, you should always reach for your first house, you know, reach for it, you know, because you'll get easily freaked out, like, oh my God, all this money, whatever. But, you know, for the most part, you'll probably do better in your career. You'll start making more money. You'll learn how to be thrifty and you'll be able to pay for it. And then the house will hopefully appreciate. So, you know, don't just settle for a dump was pretty much her mantra. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. And I will wholeheartedly agree. Fortunately, I didn't listen to that. At one time, I got freaked out on a house that we put an offer on. And then a short time later, I went to New York at WFAN. So I would have had to sell the house. So I was glad that I did get freaked out and bailed out.
Right, exactly. So we sold it. We bought it for $340,000. We put like $70,000 in landscaping in the backyard, including the putting green that no longer exists because the roots of the trees tore it all up, the new owner says, which is too bad. And I think we sold it for like $550,000 at the peak of the market in 2008. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had bought the new house way out in the country with Yohunai Field, the monogamous compound, also at the peak of the market. And I sat there and my wife and I watched it sit underwater on Zillow for damn near 10 years. And let me tell you, that's not a good feeling right there.
No, but things are back, and even with the interest rates high, you could still, you know, sell if you needed to and do well.
There was a stupid valuation on the house back in, say, May, I think it was. And I was talking to somebody about it, and I was like, I would sell this place tomorrow if I could. But I know that, you know, my wife would be like, you crazy, where are we going to go? We got to pack up all our shit. So it really didn't really didn't get beyond just the notion of now would be a great time. Of course, then it's like, well, where are you going to go? What are you going to buy? Where are you going to live? Right. What are you going to rent for like a year? What are you going to rent exactly?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I made a move quickly, and I downsized, and did it not at the peak, but did it at a very good time.
And are you happy with the downsizing?
Oh, absolutely, nice. Absolutely, positively. No lawn to cut, no snow to shovel. Utilities are a fraction of what they were. Yes, I'm very, very pleased.
I was going to say, do you own one of two things, or either one of these two things, which are things I would love to someday not own? A string trimmer?
No, I don't have one anymore.
Or
I had one.
Do you own a snow shovel?
I own a snow shovel, yes.
You do? Just what, for the steps maybe?
Yeah, the steps and knocking the snow off the cars and stuff like that.
Okay. And it's a real snow shovel, not the toy shovel you bought in Miami. We came home from the Super Bowl. See, that's another great moment in show history, you know?
Yeah. That was the moment I got off the bus and saw that car.
Like, oh, Lord have mercy. At BWI Airport in the cheapo parking lot, non-covered, not in the garage. They have garages at BWI that are seven
decks. It was national.
It was?
Yes, it was National Airport.
Are you sure?
Yes, it was. And they do have covered parking. But the company was going to pay for it too. And I wanted to save them a few bucks. Now it ultimately cost them more because I had to give a guy 20 bucks to shovel out my car. And I charged that to my expenses.
There you go. Reimbursed it. Very good. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So just to pay this off candy wise, according to Darren Revelle, by way of at a candy store, the top 10 best-selling candy around Halloween time in the U.S. Number 10, the often vilified candy corn, which I enjoy in moderate doses. Many people say, oh, that's disgusting. I like it. Number 9, Tootsie Pops. They're trash.
Yes. 8, I like them.
You like Tootsie Pops?
Yeah, because then you get the payoff of the chocolate inside the candy.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Well,
a 1, a 2, and a 3. Number 8, Snickers. Number 7, Hershey Kisses. Number 6, Sour Patch Kids. Number 5, Hot Tamales. Number 4, Starburst. Number 3, M&M's. Number 2, Skittles. And number 1, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
You know, as I've told you, I like peanut butter and I like chocolate. I just don't like them together. It just isn't something I eat.
Ladies and gentlemen, is one of the enduring mysteries of Andy Pollin.
Yeah.
Do you know that Charge had no idea who Dua Lipa was when she was at the peak of her fame? That Charge had no idea who Meghan Trainor is? Do you know either one of those artists?
I really don't, to be honest with you.
Okay, so you're just like him. But Charge is also a guy that knows a lot about a lot of things. He went into this long riff on Hedy Lamarr and her backstory. Her. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He
went into a long riff on Dolly Parton and her career, even pre-becoming a star in Nashville, but had no idea who Meghan Trainor was. So,
yeah.
Anyway. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, so the Phillies and the Astros may or may not play baseball tonight in a few minutes. Have you seen news as I'm recording this right around game time as to whether or not you're going to play outside in the rain in Philly?
Let me look at ESPN.com right now. I don't think I've seen anything.
While you're taking a look at that, I think it's high time that any new stadium built in America, any new baseball stadium for sure, must absolutely have a roof.
Dun, 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 dun. Breaking news. Game three has been postponed due to a forecast of rain throughout the evening. Yes.
Yeah, great. So there you go. No baseball tonight. I'll have to watch the Browns and the Bengals. But the legend of Philly fans has grown yet again because some jackass threw something hard, a battery, a rock, who knows, that busted the exterior window of a double-paned window on the team bus for the Astros. And had it gone all the way through, it would have hit Justin Verlander. Question, do Philly fans deserve the rep they've been given as savages on the sports landscape?
I would think so, because I can't think of another fan base that would have close to that reputation. Can you?
Mm-mm. No, I think the fact that who was the Redskins super fan that went up there and got a
Chief
severe...
Z, who an African-American man who dressed as an Indian. Yes.
And he got severe beating in the parking lot up there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this, you know, stems from the famous snowball throwing at Santa Claus.
Well, and the booing of Santa Claus.
Yeah. Well, there's actual video of a guy walking on the field as Santa Claus, and they hit him with a snowball and they booed him. And it has to do with the Philly fans being angry that the team had actually won the week before, knocking down their chances of drafting O.J. Simpson with the number one draft pick.
Okay, so. I heard that as an excuse. I also heard from some longtime Philly media members that they were booing because it was such a bad Santa Claus. That it was like a mangy, skinny, subpar
Santa. No, he
wasn't
skinny.
Okay.
The NFL Films piece that I saw on it, he was not skinny, but okay. I think people were just in a foul mood at that point.
Okay, how about eating the horse poop off the street after the Eagles won the World Series? There's video and pictures of a guy in an Eagles jersey bending down, literally eating horse poop.
That's probably paying off a bet, I would think.
Okay, that could be that. How about the fact that they once said that there was a jail inside the vet? In the bowels of the stadium.
There was, yes. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
How about the photo from an Eagles game where a fan is reaching up to try to catch a kick from a field goal in the stands, and his shirt rides up and you see a gun in his waistband? Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have. Yes.
How about the fact that Philly fans sort of eat their own sometimes when it comes to athletes that get sideways in town and it becomes untenable for them to even stay there?
Yeah, I think it's worse sometimes in New York. But, yeah, there was the famous Ed Whitson case in New York where the fans booed him every time and he couldn't even pitch in home games because of it. He got so freaked out by it. Yeah. But I guess it happens in Philly, too.
Who was the right fielder for the Phillies who struggled. He was supposed to be a hot shot. JP something, JT something. Not Real Muto, the current guy, but there was somebody else, I think, that had two initials, first name, and it got so bad with him, they were starting to throw batteries at him.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla had that in New York. I'm blanking on the name. No, I don't remember
okay.
that.
All right. So, well, another notch in Philadelphia's belt. And, of course, they're bitching about the Astros still cheating because people are playing Zapruder film with the mannerisms and the wrist, you know, touching and the hair touching of Framber Valdez, who was magnificent in Game 2's win. Did you see in the videos, do you think he might be cheating with a substance, even though they now check the pitchers every half inning?
I don't think so. And to me, the proof that they had stopped cheating was when the Nationals won the World Series 3 years ago, they won all their games in Houston, which is where all the cheating had been taking place.
Right. So, you would think, like, okay, don't think baseball's not keenly aware of everything regarding the Astros, and they're going to make sure to clamp down. Like, yeah, it's yeah. it's just not – you may go, hey, what's this, what's that, but – what are the odds that baseball's like, oh, sorry, we should have gotten them again. I guess we were asleep.
And Dusty Baker, an old school manager, you know, I would think if he got wind of it, he'd put an end to it. I think. I don't know. I could be wrong, but that's what I feel.
Are you pulling for Dusty to finally win one? The poor
absolutely.
Susan Lucci of baseball?
Absolutely. I like Dusty a lot.
Everyone loves Dusty.
Hope he wins one. Yeah. I do.
Except his postseason moves at times are like, they're like Mr. Toad's wild ride. You're like, what are you doing?
Well, he's got the best team this time, so hopefully he can pull this off.
He does. I don't know what the ratings are going to look like. What are the ratings so far for baseball? Did you see him?
I haven't seen him. I've seen him in the past. They're about 10 million people. And I was just, you know, that there was, this is the first, only the second, excuse me, World Series since 1947, when Jackie Robinson broke the color line, that there's not a single African-American player in it. And I was looking back on some of the, you know, World Series of the past. It really peaked like in the 70s, late 70s. It was like 27% African-Americans in baseball, right. And now it's down to 7. But just circle back to the ratings, when they played the first night game in the World Series, which was 1971, the rating, they had 63 million people watching it. So now it's down to 10.
Yeah, it's sad. Now, here's the question about African-Americans playing baseball. Why do you think the number has dropped off so precipitously?
Well, part of it is economics. They don't have, in poorer areas, the baseball fields, like in back in the
did they back in the 70s?
Well, yeah, and you had generations of people who had grown up with African-American stars. You know, some of the biggest stars.
Icons of the sport.
Willie Mays and Henry Aaron mm-hmm. and, you know, Ken Singleton, Bob Gibson. And so we had that. And I also think the speed of the game is not good. You know, a kid standing in the outfield, you know, for 20 minutes with nothing happening is not as exciting as playing basketball or right. football. So I think that's got a lot to do with it. And, you know, part of it is they have to speed up the game. But I think the shame of it is there are probably some really good African-American athletes who are not 6'6", or, you know, 6'10", who would be good baseball players if they had the opportunity to play. But right. because of economics and other reasons, they don't.
Yeah, I think the other sports are too attractive because if you're a high school age kid who's in the top 1% of all athletes, you can play multiple sports if you want, and you happen to be African American and you're good at multiple things, you wouldn't choose the hardest thing to go pursue unless you really, really loved it beyond all reason. And baseball yeah. is the hardest thing. It's just a hard fucking sport.
Absolutely. The training that you got to put in. And look, if you're coming out of college, do you want to ride the buses in the minor leagues for 3 years, or do you want to go right to professional football or, you know, the dream sport, basketball? You know, it doesn't seem yeah. to be much of a choice.
Even when, you know, like in basketball, if you're LeBron James, one of the best, you know that given a 48-minute game, if you play X number of minutes, you're going to score at least 25 points, right? You're not going to yeah. suck. You're going to make some baskets. You're going to get a dunk or two. unlike, say, Jose Altuve, who was in this monster funk before he broke out on Saturday night. Like, that would be the equivalent of, say, LeBron scoring 2 points, 1 point, 0 points, 4 points in an NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, if you're successful in baseball, you fail 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing if you can play other sports. Now, also, there is a concurrent thing with baseball where the athletic, suburban, well-to-do white kids are leaning into baseball. And they're leaning into it like, I could be a famous professional athlete in this sport. I'd think guys like Alex Bregman are a sort of a typical type of guy. Not physically anything special, right? Alex mm-hmm. Bregman, he's seeming right. like generic guy, but he's really good at baseball. And these affluent, mostly white kids have great access to all kinds of advanced training, coaching, academies, nutrition, fitness. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like the oil in the water is sorting itself out in a way. So I don't know how you reverse it. I mean, there was a while back that baseball was like, we got to change this number. I don't hear much of that anymore. Do you?
No, but I would like to see it accessible. I mean, if they try it and they don't like it, that's one thing.
True.
But if you never have the opportunity, I think that's kind of a shame.
No, I do too. And I think having American-born black stars in baseball is good for the sport. It's fun to watch. And there's a lot of them that would be really fucking good. In the sport, if they were there, but you can't make somebody do it. You can't make somebody like it or love it, which is what you need. But it seems like to me, Andy, baseball quietly just said, we're never turning this number around. So let's not talk about it so much. It's making us look bad.
Well, also, you know, the scouting of Dominican players, and, you know, there are a lot of players with dark skin in baseball. And so that sort of lessens the pressure on the sport a little bit. So, you know, there's all that part of it.
Auburn fired their football coach today, and they're going to have to pay him $16 million in a buyout. That's actually cheaper than the guy before him, who they had to pay like $20 million. So Auburn is now on the hook for $37 million for two coaches who are no longer coaching for the school. And my doppelganger, Bill O'Brien, has apparently accepted the job, and they're going to fast-track him in there. He's currently an assistant with Nick Saban in Alabama.
Wow, so Deion's not getting the job. That's interesting. I was actually researching this for tomorrow. I'm going to talk about this because, remember, Ralph Friedgen had great success at Maryland. And then had a really bad year one year. It was like 2-10. And Debbie Yao, the vicious athletic director who used to work there, wanted to buy him out. And because it's a state-run school, she had to go to the state to see if the governor would be on board to buy him out. The buyout at the time was 2 years left on his contract at $2 million a year. So it was $4 million to buy him out. And the governor, Martin O'Malley, said, what are you kidding me? We have a budget here. We can't do this. So when I saw the amount of money that they're paying this guy and Gus Malzahn, who they fired before, they got to go, whoa, I mean, it's a different world.
Yeah, Malzahn, $21 million, and this guy, Brian Harsin, $15 million. And, of course, Harsin came in, you know, highly accredited, big hire, good hire. Nobody said this guy sucks, and it ain't happening. I don't know when the wheel stops in college football with this kind of wasteful spending. I'm not sure.
Well, I guess the boosters buy it out. But even so, I mean, it just goes to show you just how much money is available. It seems insane for this, really.
It is crazy. Speaking of money, Stephen A. Smith says he is underpaid at $8 million a year.
I've heard 12, but okay. Let's see your spreadsheet, Stephen A. Okay. How does that work?
Here was his explanation the other day on ESPN.
We are still black in this country. We don't trust this country in terms of meritocracy always. We know the bottom line is that just like women are underpaid compared to male counterparts, blacks are underpaid compared to white counterparts. And so when you look at it from that perspective, and of course, people look at me, I'm not talking about me, even though I got news for you. I am underpaid compared to some people on television and what they get paid, but that's a subject for another day. I ain't apologizing for that to a damn soul. I am underpaid. Having said all of that, it ain't about me.
Well, maybe you should fire your agent then. Yeah. Who's he talking about? Skip Bayless? Yeah. Colin Cowherd? Is he talking about Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, who were lured over because of the seismic shifts in the NFL TV contracts? What's he talking about exactly?
I have no idea, but, you know, I guess it doesn't hurt. And I guess ESPN isn't going to call him in and you know, call him on the carpet for it. I think they're going to let it fly.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, he's the face of the franchise, right?
Which I guess, but I mean, yeah, I mean, what there has to be some metric to show that the $12 million he makes is worth it for them. And he's maybe got some metric to show that he's worth even more than that. I have no idea. I don't know the television business.
Couldn't they start recruiting and molding a series of replacement Stephen A. Smiths? Minorities that get the shtick of be loud, be outrageous, say things like this, and you know, we can teach you how to do the medium. Because it's not like his sports takes are gold where you're like, wow, I never thought of that.
Outside of the NBA, in fact, they're pretty shallow. But anybody that comes in with that act will be accused of, you know, imitating Stephen A. So you got to have something unique.
Right. But I wonder how long the Stephen A. era at ESPN will last. Another 10 years?
You know, he may have been ahead of his time because about, 10, 12 years ago, he was a big deal there. He had a TV show. He had a radio show. He had all, and then they fired him. They got rid of all of them. They said, just get out. And he left for a couple of years and then came back, and he's bigger and bigger than ever.
Funny to think that a guy who's making $8 million, maybe $12 million a year, goes on a rant saying he's underpaid and he once had to wake up at 4 in the morning on the West Coast to do a radio show that had once been occupied by yours truly.
Yeah.
Poor Stephen A. Smith. Funny how this industry works. You can't think about it too much lest you go crazy. Let me end on this, Andy. Any parting thoughts on Kyrie Irving and Kanye West? I asked my two other Jewish friends and colleagues, Scott and Solly. I feel like I got to put a quarter in your jukebox on this guy.
Well, Kanye West got what's coming to him. It's all gone. Everybody's running away from him. Kyrie Irving, if I'm the commissioner, Adam Silver, regardless of the fact that he is Jewish, I call him in and I say, yes, you're allowed to post these things as Kyrie Irving, John Q. Citizen. But as a member of the NBA, you need to take them down or you will be suspended indefinitely without pay and let the union take me on. That's the way I do it. Yeah.
Looks like I'm going to have to cut bait with Kyrie in Brooklyn. I don't know how they're going to do it. He is going to tear that team apart from the inside. It's pretty fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you got to think about Kevin Durant, who was in paradise in Golden State and went to do his own thing. And look at this.
But he teamed up with Kyrie willingly.
Right.
And knowingly.
Oh, they were friends.
I know.
Yeah.
I have no sympathy whatsoever for Kevin Durant. He got in bed with this guy. Now he fleas. So deal with it. All right, Andy. I didn't even talk about the Commanders. Big win over the Colts. Snyder's dressing up, like you said, the team equipment manager now.
Yeah, he's wearing a Commander's sweatshirt, a hoodie. Looks like it was bought at Walmart. It wasn't even a fancy one.
And a ball
and a hat in size. Yeah, look ridiculous.
A softening of his image as this billionaire titan in a suit?
I don't know. You know, he's hard to figure, but he's fighting. I don't think he's going to lose the team, but boy, he's not going down without a fight.
Is this a playoff team, possibly?
Oh, God, no. I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, they're talking about maybe for the first time ever a whole division gets in the playoffs, the whole NFC.
Yeah, half a season to go, as you say, kaleidoscope league. Things could be very, very different in 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right, well, congrats to the Commanders. And no, for anyone asking me on Twitter, I'm not coming back to the team just because they won 3 in a row.
Yeah.
And the Packers have lost now 4 in a row. So
yeah. There
you go. All right, Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Take care, Zach.
See you, bud.
Me. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.